Hey everybody, welcome back to Cage Match, a podcast where we decide whether or not Nick Cage is awful.
He is.
I'm already upset.
We fixed it. We have no more podcast episodes. This is the end of our podcast.
No, so I disagree, and I obviously like Nick Cage, and this is what this podcast is about. So if you weren't here for our first episode, I want to let you know that we always start our podcast with a drink. Last episode, we had an Old Fashioned, as chosen by me. This month, Murder, what are we drinking?
We are drinking a Jack and Joe. Okay. So it's supposed to be Jack honey whiskey, but I got Jim Beam. And Bailey's and iced coffee, or regular coffee. And it was actually created by a flight attendant, and they now serve it on United Airlines.
Do they serve it on Conair?
They should.
Well, I
actually, that would make that whole entire situation way worse if they were both caffeinated and drunk.
Oh, that's fair. All right, so cheers.
Cheers.
Mm. Okay, that's delicious.
It's so good.
So you said we have Jim Beam honey,
mm-hmm.
Bailey's,
yes,
and coffee.
Yeah.
And because we made this at my house, it was Stoke iced coffee because that's what my wife drinks a lot of. Like, we always have bottles in the fridge. It is fantastic.
Sponsor us.
Stoke, sponsor. Any coffee company at all, sponsor us. I have ideas for that, but we'll talk about it off air because people don't want to hear about my marketing ideas.
Or maybe they do.
Well, maybe we have a marketing podcast.
This is a
next.
Marketing podcast.
So in our first episode, we talked about The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, a movie that is very much, very, very much for hardcore Nicolas Cage fans.
Which I am not.
But yeah. So there was a lot about it that Murder was not exactly a huge fan of. But most of those things equated to Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
Pretty much every other element of the movie you liked.
Yeah, every part.
So I think we agreed that that guy was a douche.
Oh yeah, he sucked.
Yeah, but otherwise, I mean, so we ended up right at 3, so we came right back to where we started, that we have no idea if Nick Cage is any good or not. So check out that episode when you have a chance, not just because of that movie, but because we really kind of laid out a little bit about what we're going to be doing. We played a couple little intro games, and it'll give you an idea of maybe a little bit where we're coming from with our Nick Cage likes and dislikes. So our rating was a 3. Like I said, this month I feel like we're going to... I feel pretty confident about this month.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I guess we'll see. We'll see. I might have to let you pick next month's movie just to try to get back if I do get my win in this week. But so before we move into the next film, anything in general that you've been watching, listening to, reading?
I just started Barry.
Oh, I watched the first season and really liked it, but then fell off.
It's so good. It's amazing. I'm still in the first season, but I'm in love with Bill Hader.
I heard in the new season, Nick Cage is going to be on it.
Oh my God.
Nah, I just made that up.
No, I really love Bill Hader.
That's fair.
Like, so much. I'm in love with him. So it's funny to see him be so like dry and also like kind of a psychopath.
But like a really, really lovable psychopath.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only watched the first season, but I did think it was really fun.
Yeah, he thinks he's just killing bad guys. That's like how he justifies it. He's just like, we only kill the bad guys, but then he's, starting to kill a lot
so
more.
So it's got a little bit of that Dexter feel about it.
Yeah.
Except that it's like, I think it's far more comedic. And
yeah.
I also just like,
for sure.
I just like Bill Hader more than I like Michael Hall personally.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michael Hall looks like a psychopath.
Sure.
Where I feel like Bill Hader would pass for a normal person.
So, being that it's Pride Month, are you aware that Michael C. Hall was one of the Hedwigs when they were on Broadway?
Yes.
And he started a band with the guys from the band in the play.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Called Tits of Clay.
Really?
And they're pretty fantastic.
Are they?
Yeah.
He's a really good singer.
Everybody who played Hedwig in that run was amazing. I mean, they started with, I thought with MPH.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I love Neil Patrick Harris, although he's got some hit pieces going on right now.
Does he?
Yeah, we don't have to get into it.
Oh, man. No,
not sexual stuff, thankfully. You know, okay. None of that Me Too stuff, just insensitive bullshit that he's done in the past that came up recently.
Okay, yeah, because he's a white man, so yeah, of course he
is. We all do insensitive shit, us white men. But yeah, I mean, the guy from Glee, whose name escapes me.
Who was in How Matthew I Met Your Morrison. Mother.
Yeah, and then Taye Diggs, which was cool because they had a black dude.
Yeah.
And he was... awesome. I only watched videos of him, so I didn't get to see him. And of course, the original John Cameron Mitchell did a stint too. So
yeah,
it was supposed to be on, I think, for like 6 weeks, and it ended up being on for almost a year.
Really?
And they kept rotating through different Hedwigs.
That's awesome. I love Michael C. Hall in 6 Feet Under. He actually sang in that too, and I didn't realize it was his real singing voice until somebody told me about the Hedwig thing. I think it was Raven, probably.
So they recorded some original songs as Pits of Clay, which is a reference to the movie. Mm-hmm. And it was or not movie, play. It was a play first. I thought it was a movie first. Mm. I didn't get to see it on the original Broadway run because I would have been like, well, no, I would have been old enough. You wouldn't have been old enough.
I don't think I was even thought of.
I think it originally was in the mid-90s, I believe, when it did its Broadway run.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was like
Well, 80s. It wasn't even Broadway. It wasn't even Broadway, though. It was like an off-Broadway.
I got it.
It didn't. I have the Criterion Blu-ray, and there's some really cool back behind-the-scenes stuff on it, so that's fun.
I'm learning so much from you, Grandpa. Thanks.
I know. So there's my little Pride Month tie-in, right? There are good Pride Month tie-ins with this movie, actually, with Sally Can't Dance and the Renoli Santiago, which we can talk about him.
Yeah.
But we're talking about Con Air.
Yeah.
So let's just talk about Con Air. First, I want to thank John Marshall, who was actually a college friend of mine, is a listener and recommended this movie as our next movie. So John, thank you. John's also sent me DMs with like 3,000 other movie suggestions. So John, we'll be getting to a lot of those. Thank you. Keep listening.
At least 172 episodes. I think that was like his last movie count.
Well, it'll be more. Don't worry. He still has divorces to pay for and everything else. I don't think we'll be covering every movie because I've seen some that not that they're bad. I can deal with bad movies.
Yeah.
I hate like forgettable movies.
Yeah. Like nothing special.
They just, you know, drag and
yeah.
But Con Air, 1997. You were like 3. I was almost done with high school. No, seriously, I guess I would have been a sophomore when this came out in high school.
1997.
97?
7 years old.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a routine transfer. The most violent criminals society's ever produced are being flown to the toughest maximum security prison ever built. Nathan Jones, a.k.a. Diamond Dog, life sentence, murder. Gun Green, a.k.a. the Marietta Mangler, 7 life sentences. Cyrus Grissom, a.k.a. Cyrus the Virus, life sentence for murder, robbery, kidnapping, extortion. And Cameron Poe, parole, heading home to his family. Unfortunately, he just got on the wrong plane. From Jerry Bruckheimer, the producer of Crimson Tide and The Rock, Nicolas Cage, John Cusack, John Malkovich. This spring, buckle up. Directed by Simon West.
So you were 7 and I was 15. That sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds about right. And I saw this in the theater. I remember loving it then.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a fan. Before I ask you about your experience, we introduced the movie last time by reading the IMDb summary because I'm lazy and I don't like to write my own summaries. So why don't you read the IMDb summary for us?
Okay. Newly paroled ex-con and former U.S. Ranger Cameron Poe finds himself trapped in a prisoner transport plane when the passengers seize control.
Man, and like we said last time, these IMDb summaries have to be nice and short and sweet. And, I think you said you really would have liked the movie to be as short and sweet last time.
I will say I actually enjoyed this movie.
And there's
even overall.
I think because the last movie was so
bad.
Well, so hinging on liking Nick Cage.
Yeah.
And this movie's not really hinging on that because even though he's the main character, there's so many, like...
There's so much going on.
Just a step down from him. Like,
there's
just
so many plot points
right
within the movie. I'm not saying they wrapped it up very nicely, but...
That's fair.
There's just so much going on. So much to watch.
Man, I can't stop drinking this.
I know. Jack, it's so fucking good, right?
Mm. Or in our case, a Jim and Joe.
A Jim and Joe.
A lot of J's.
Yeah, Jim Justin,
you know, but so IMDb, we also talked briefly about the Rotten Tomatoes rating, which I'll give you that. So it was 55% from critics, which is actually, even though it's higher than 50%, it's considered a splat. It's not it's a rotten. So I think it'd be 60 and up for a.
Yeah.
So it was almost It was in the middle for them. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, Rotten Tomatoes, it's not that 55 out of 100, like 100 being the best movie. It's 55% of the people who rated it gave it a good rating.
Yeah.
Audience score was 75%. And I'm not surprised that audience score is higher on this movie because it is a crowd movie. You know, it is very much that.
I can see that. It was very entertaining. So I can see why people would like it. For sure.
Right.
Except for the parts with Nick Cage's face in it.
So I want to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen this movie before?
No. This is my first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I mean, yes, you were 7 when it came out.
So. Thank God I didn't watch it when I was 7. Holy fuck.
Oh, there's some stuff. Yeah, there's some stuff.
There's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah, there's definitely some stuff.
A lot of words.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I was like 15 when it came out in the theater, so I think I'm probably like the right age to see this movie.
Yeah.
I feel like my kids at 11 and 13, my 13-year-old would probably really dig it. My 11-year-old mm-hmm. wouldn't get a lot of this stuff. Unfortunately, today's world, those words are all words he knows.
Yeah.
I might not have known them when I was his age. No, I definitely didn't know them when I was his age, but he knows them. Yeah, he knows them.
Yeah, a lot of racial slurs.
Ooh, yeah. We'll talk about those, too, because there's some... I think sometimes we make a mistake as film watchers, especially in like the film critics world, to like discount a movie or like put it down because of stuff like that, because we'll say like the movie is promoting something bad. I don't think any of the bad stuff is said in this is said by anyone that you're supposed to think is good.
Well, yeah, that, and I do feel like it probably, you know, my time in the clink. It's probably pretty realistic to what like, you know, most cons that are fucking trigger warning raping and murdering people are. So I think it's like it was like pretty accurate, but there was like points where I was like shocked that got into a movie in 97.
Yeah, 97. It blew my mind. I mean, you know, anything pre the TV show Oz.
Yeah,
it's shocking when it was in it. Once Oz came out and it like literally blew showed prison up. Rape, yeah. It was like, oh, now we can kind of get away talking about all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, now we have Orange is the New Black, and, you know, God knows what the crazy crap is happening in that show. With one guard is impregnating a woman while they're all having sex with each other. And I don't know. I watched the first 3 seasons, and then it got, by the end of the 3rd season, it was so off the rails. I was like, I think I need a break. And I never came back to it, although I do enjoy it. I do think Laverne Cox is amazing.
Oh, yeah, she's amazing.
But that said, I'm going to give everybody a spoiler warning here. On the last movie, we tried not to spoil things because it was new.
Yeah.
In fact, it's not even out on DVD yet, which we have some news about. But this movie's from 1997, as we've now said several times. I think the statute of limitations is over.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think I was the last person to see it.
You might be. You might be. Yeah.
On the planet Earth.
Right.
So everybody I talked to was like, how did you not see Con Air?
Well, I was kind of amazed. Because I didn't remember. I know we talked about it on the last episode, and I thought I remembered you saying you hadn't seen it. But I wasn't positive.
Remember seeing it on FX maybe when I was like really, really young.
Of it maybe, yeah, and not the whole thing.
The entire thing was censored. So
oh my God, yeah.
It cut it down to like 30 minutes of watchable movie. Yeah, probably.
They don't show much in this movie, but they say really vulgar things very regularly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And having worked in a prison for a while.
Yeah. I forgot that you worked
in a prison. Oh, yeah.
I always forget about that.
None of that seems that outlandish at all, having talked to people
expert.
In prison. And I would say the foul mouth of the guards are often worse than the foul mouth of the prisoners.
Yeah.
But that the movie shows that, too.
Yeah,
truly. The guards are assholes.
Fucking dicks, dude. Well, except for that one,
she's
Sally.
Awesome. Yeah, she's awesome.
Sally's a true G.
Yeah, she's good people. But, so, I'm just going to ask you, since this is your first time seeing the movie. Tell me about your experience as far as just initial impressions. Let's just do some initial impressions here.
Okay. So initial impressions, like you just want a vague overview?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I try to go into every movie with a sense of whimsy.
Necessarily.
Like a sense of believability.
You want to be able to like have that that detached reality kind of thing.
But it was very hard for me to get over like the beginning. Him even going to jail was really hard for me because it was just like such an absurd situation. Like,
I agree.
If not to get into it too much, but if that situation happened in real life, I don't think he would necessarily be going into prison.
I don't think he would.
And definitely not for as long as he did.
And definitely not as a white man.
Yeah. Truly. I mean, That's just the world we live in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, I really it was hard for me to like kind of get into it at first, but like once it started going and I got over the ridiculous beginning scenes like him talking to Baby-O, I got pretty into it. The only things that really threw me throughout the movie was his fucking accent.
Fair.
It was horrible because like sometimes he sounded like himself. Other times he sounded like a discount like Colonel Sanders. And then other times he sounded like Foghorn Leghorn. Like it was a very big draw. Like, yeah, I need to get to my daughter. Yeah. Like, and yeah. Then the next scene, like he didn't have an accent at all.
I think he forgot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to do that. I forgot about it. But yeah, I thought it was like such an entertaining movie. Definitely had shock value. It had really fucking big names in it, which yeah. surprised me. Like John Malkovich and fucking Steve Buscemi is in it. Right. Like and, Dave Chappelle.
And this is 97. Yeah. So like this is, so it's early Chappelle. So it's before yeah. he blew up, but he yeah. was a really big name in the like touring, like comedian market and just getting into kind of films and stuff. I think this is after Half Baked.
Yeah. He was also in You Got Mail. Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. No, yeah. He's like the business partner of Tom Hanks or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really
interesting. Isn't that fucking weird?
Really weird.
His name is like Nathan.
And Ving Rhames is huge at this point too. Yeah. So that's a big name in this mm-hmm. movie. Like there's a lot. John Cusack's at the height of his game in this movie. Oh my God,
yeah, John Cusack.
And we could talk a little bit about how he often has me teetering on the line of heterosexuality and homosexuality. I'm a big John Cusack guy.
Oh, you're romantic.
It's not because he's sexy. Because he's really not.
No, but he's like that like broody, romantic yep. type that like he's the type I was until I
finally met a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, because I was that.
Yeah, very broody, much. Romantic.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
one you want to get coffee in the rain with.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, my favorite movies of all time are things like Better Off Dead and Say Anything. And like a lot of those are on my top 20-ish, you know, movies.
I can see it.
Especially if I divorce myself of like genre film, which is like really where I'm at. So give me like action, sci-fi, horror.
Yeah.
But if I were to go more into like comedy and drama, he's in almost all my favorite comedy and drama movies. Like I seriously like, yeah,
he's
you know
good.
from you know High Fidelity where he plays the biggest piece of shit in the world and I still love him to like Gross Point Blank to like you know and then his old 80s stuff like every one of his old 80s movies
yeah
amazing.
I really the only thing with John Cusack I mean I love him in anything
sure
like I feel like he's kind of just like. I'm trying to describe this right. Like he's like butter. He's like the butter of the film industry. Like he just goes pretty much anywhere and is fine. Like he's good. Like he fits.
And he makes it just that much better.
Yeah.
He might not be the main course.
Yeah, but it's
he
like,
makes that main course taste
that's,
better.
That's you know? Pretty good. I like that better a little
like,
bit.
Like, do you want that roll with butter or without?
Yeah.
You want it with butter?
Yeah. And then John Cusack is the butter.
I like that analogy.
Except for his fucking sandals and socks situation in this movie.
Oh, fair.
I was enraged every time I saw his fucking feet. Every single time. It was like those specific I have to figure out the brand. The dad sandals from the 90s. They're not quite Birkenstocks. They're like shoes that are like have cutouts in them.
Oh my God. I can't describe what you're talking them. About. Then, I always thought they were so stupid.
And then
he had
socks
stupid.
With them and oh, I was man. Somebody mentioned it, the Tiny Mouth guy.
The real asshole yeah, from the DEA
that doesn't listen to him the entire time. He mentions it like he makes fun of him.
He's a big name actor too, and of course his name is escaping me. Yeah,
he has such a tiny mouth. It was bothering me the entire time. I like could not pay attention to it the whole time he was talking.
Of course, it's driving me nuts that I can't remember his name. So as you're talking, I'm looking him up. I can't not.
Well, in the meantime, I'll tell you something that while we're going over this little overview, I also felt like. This was almost the plot of Alien, where John Cusack is actually Sigourney Weaver, because nobody fucking listens to him the entire time. They're
oh, my
like,
God, that's a funny point.
And, like, literally, as disaster is striking and getting worse and worse and worse, and he's like, hey, guys, here's the solution. They just keep ignoring him. And
they
they're
really
just like, more people are dying. And he's, like, not being listened to the entire time. He is the Sigourney Weaver.
It's called
Meanie.
That was going to drive me about. Oh, it's okay. called Meanie. Yeah. But,
Tiny mouth.
That's actually really, well, it's funny, because I was watching Aliens just last night at the drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
So, and in both Alien and Aliens, she is the voice of reason, especially in this one, second one.
Yeah,
she's
did they not
like,
listen to her?
No one listens to her.
I know the first one they didn't, but I didn't see Aliens.
No, they literally actively shut her down.
Oh my God.
But then when she gets on to the crew starts to listen to her a little when she kind of proves that she knows her shit.
I mean, I feel like being the sole survivor of the first one should have proved
in the beginning of this, they gaslight her and tell her she's making that a whole thing up in the beginning of Aliens.
Typical patriarchy bullshit.
It really is. It really is. But yeah, so for me, I'm going to talk about my love of the film and then my impressions this time around. So, like I said, I've seen this film. It has to be 20 times in my life.
Yeah.
All the way through at least 10. And then on FX, on whatever, yada, yada. You know, like when we actually used to all have cable. And that was like a thing before we just streamed everything.
Remember commercials?
I kind of remember commercials. No, I
miss
do.
Commercials.
Sadly, I remember commercials because they're making a real big comeback on things like YouTube.
Yeah, that's
and,
gross.
And my kids like only watch YouTube.
Like fun commercials, like for like Super Soakers and
right.
Slip and slides and shit.
Like not like the same like random thing over and over.
Yeah, it's
and
like,
over.
Do you need health insurance? Call this number today.
Click here.
Or like I really just want to learn about like. Who's the big name in the slime game? You know, like those are the kind of commercials I want.
That's fair. That's
totally I want the Kool-Aid Man.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. Tell
so
me your
this
impressions.
Time around, my impressions were I was right. It's really good. So, a couple things jumped out. Malkovich is amazing.
Yeah, truly.
And I mean, to be fair, I can state that divorced of a particular role, he's just really good.
Yeah, I believed he was a fucking piece of shit.
He is.
He made me mad.
He's such a wonderfully awful piece of shit in this movie.
Yeah.
You talked about some language. He, as Dave Chappelle is being cornered by one of the other guys, he says, "You think I care at all about this two-bit crackhead Negro?" And then afterwards, you know, Chappelle says to him, "Did you mean that stuff?" And he goes, "Hand me the gun." And he hands him the gun. He goes, "Hell yes, I meant every bit of it."
Such a piece of shit.
Such a piece of shit. You know, because he just, you know, but you know, he's also sadistic and smart.
Yeah.
And if John Malkovich was a con, I believe this is the con he'd be.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because he'd be the worst of the worst. But the smartest of the smartest. You know what I mean? Able to manipulate everyone from the black militant who does everything he says.
Yeah.
Even though the guy hates white people.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that he explains why. He basically is saying it's a means to an end. But still, like, he manipulates him so well.
Yeah, he manipulates everybody so well.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
I mean, to the guards, everybody. He's just so on point. And, he's so good in this movie. I love Steve Buscemi and everything as well.
This one made me sad, though.
Okay.
Just because I love him and I hated him being gross. But go ahead.
Well, he was gross. But we saw his lighter side in that he
True.
Let the little girl live.
Yeah.
So anyone who's only seen this a few times or haven't watched it recently, there's a scene where he's having tea with this little girl. And they make you think for a second that he killed her.
Yeah.
Until that we're flying away and she runs after waving goodbye to her friend.
Yeah,
and you realize,
like,
oh, he let her go.
Yeah.
And so there's a streak in him of good. It's only a streak, though, because he's clearly horrible
so
when he talks about killing another little girl and wearing her head as a hat for three states, driving through three states or something.
Fucked up.
Yeah, he's a fucked up character. And he's obviously meant to be kind of your Hannibal Lecter of the crew. But he's just really out there. The most grossest character, though, and a favorite actor of mine as well, actually, is Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Johnny 23.
He made me so sad.
So are you aware that Danny Trejo actually did a large stint of his life in jail?
Yeah, I heard about that. I don't know what for.
So he didn't act.
I'm assuming
he didn't get into acting till he was like 50. So the guy's 74 years old or some crap.
Oh, good for him.
I know. And he's fit and he still does action roles. It's kind of crazy. He's something like that. He's like around 70. I don't quote me on the age exact, but he didn't start acting until he was like 49 years old or something. And he had done like 20 years in prison. There's a documentary about it I haven't watched yet that I really want to watch. It's called like Inmate Number One.
Mm-hmm.
It's about like his first role as Inmate Number One. But then talking about his time in jail and how he got there and stuff. And really, like, he blew up because of guys like Robert Rodriguez and Quentin Tarantino casting him over and over because they just loved him as a human being. They got to meet him, and he was just so nice. And the guy, like, he champions, like, all types of good causes. Guy doesn't actually like bring money. You know, he doesn't bring a lot of money home. He like donates everything. Like, he's just an awesome human being who did admittedly did some really bad shit. But I think he got roped into drug trafficking stuff.
I always hate that kind of stuff, like when it's like drug trafficking shit, when it's especially when it comes to a minority, because honestly,
you don't know what got him into it.
Yeah, he was probably like pushed or forced into it.
Right, sure.
And like he probably tried to get out and couldn't.
Yeah.
Like I always hate that. I think it's
But he's a very like, I heard him talk about it, and he's a very like, he takes onus on it all. It's very like, I screwed up. I did this.
Of course he did. He's amazing.
Yeah, which is awesome. I mean, even though we might feel for him, the fact that he takes onus on it is also part of why you feel for him.
Yeah.
Because when people try to explain it away, it makes you not actually want to root for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I'm a big fan of his. And and I did mention briefly, this is Pride Month. And so, do you remember the character Sally Can't Dance? So, it's the cross-dresser?
Yeah.
I don't want to use like trans because I don't know. I don't know if you want.
What? I don't think they are. I think.
Yeah. Well, no. Because there's so many different terms, and I'm not good at them all. I'm not gonna lie. I try, but in this particular situation, Sally Can't Dance is a male. I don't know because it's 1997 and jails didn't give a shit what you identified as.
Yeah.
If Sally identified as a male or a female.
Mm-hmm.
As recently as when I started in the jails in 06, we didn't. It took a while. Only in the last few years did we actually care about that stuff.
Yeah.
In the system. I cared about it long before the system did, but I didn't understand it when I started either. I mean, you know, I had a trustee on my block, and a trustee is kind of someone who helps do work because they've been there a long time. So they would run our passes out to the guys and stuff like that, mm-hmm. who went by the name Simone. And I can't use any real names, but like Simone is what the name he went by. She went by. See, I still do it with because he was on my caseload on policy.
Well, it's
but
hard.
He identified as a woman.
Yeah.
And it took until a couple years ago. She's serving 60-year minimum.
Yeah.
For shit she did wrong.
Yeah.
I will point that out. I won't say what it is, but it is wrong.
Yeah.
And she admits this too. But it was a long time before we acknowledged her as a her.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean? So
it's hard to, you know, change that
language. In the DOC for a long time, it was basically what's between your legs is all we cared about.
Yeah.
And now it's not that, which is
good. That's good, yeah.
It is good. They're not where they need to be, but they're definitely getting better.
Yeah.
And I bring that up to say, so Sally Can't Dance, as played by gay actor Rinoli Santiago, who I'm also a really big fan of Rinoli in Hackers. Hackers was a favorite movie of mine.
I was
Phantom
trying
Freak.
To figure out where I knew him from.
So he's Phantom Freak in that
movie.
Okay. And so he's one of my absolute favorites in that movie. And that movie is a movie I was obsessed with as a teenager. And computers never looked like that even then. But, but you know, I watched that movie every day after school when I came home when I was in, like, eighth grade. So, but, yeah, so Rinoli, you know, I just bring that up. Is really cool, outspoken member of the LGBT community. And I follow him online. And he's just a cool dude.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
So, shout out for that. But, but yeah, so I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that just because, you know, I would mention even if it wasn't Pride Month, but it's on top of my head, right? So
gotta celebrate.
Exactly. So really, that was just kind of some overall stuff. We didn't get into a lot of specific scenes, but one of the ways we get into specific scenes is our segment that I named Watch Your Fucking Mouth.
I always think that's a note for me.
No, it's not a note for you. The movie Face Off, for anyone who doesn't know, that's just a favorite quote of mine from Face Off, and the reason that I named it that is because it isn't Face Off. Each of the two main characters, John Travolta's character and Nick Cage's character, have to play each other. They have to learn how to be each other.
Mm-hmm.
So in this particular segment, it's where you have to name good things about Nick Cage in the movie, and I have to name bad things about Nick Cage in the movie.
Nuts.
So the rule is you need to name at least two good things, but only one has to be about Nick Cage. Okay. I have to name at least two things I didn't like about the movie, and one has to be about Nick Cage.
Okay.
So it's up to you. Do you want to go first here, or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go for it.
Okay.
Watch your fucking mouth. Watch your fucking mouth!
One thing specifically about Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
He was flexing. He was, like, pretty jacked.
He is jacked.
There was, like, this one scene at the end when he's, like, on the fire truck, and he's, like, it was totally like a money shot. He was probably like, I've been working on this body for a while. I need you to like get one good shot of it. And he's just like on the truck like this. And he's like holding on the truck with his like arms flexed up to his face. Like so totally
he's
just making
holding on in the bicep
yeah.
pose.
You
yeah.
can like tell that he's like struggling. Going, yeah. Yeah, yeah, veins are popping. I was like, he looks good. He looks good as hell.
Okay. I'll take that. That's a good one.
Yeah. And then another good thing about the movie, I don't know. It was like, it was just very entertaining.
Yeah.
Like it was difficult for me to watch the first movie.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, the first one we did, whatever it's
the
called.
The unbearable movie, as you
the
like to call
the
it.
The unbearable fucking movie. But yeah, this one was very entertaining. Like, I could not look away. It was very hard for me, too, because I had to stop it at one point because I, like, started falling asleep just because it was, like, 2 a.m.
Yeah, no, I get that. I fall asleep not because movies are boring. Yeah. I fall asleep because I'm old.
Yeah, well, yeah.
You're not old, but you
no,
still
I just
asleep.
Get... Movies just make me sleepy.
It's fair.
But, it was like 2 a.m. yeah. when I started it. So I was just like, oh, I got to continue this. And I was like bummed out about it. I was like, oh man, I got to yeah. stay up. Yeah, it was like really entertaining.
It is really
and
entertaining.
Really funny.
It's
I don't
like
know.
That tentpole, like fun summer action movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of campy. And then just like action, action, action on top of it.
This is like the quintessential like midsummer movie in the
90s. Yeah.
Like, from like 95 through like 05, mm-hmm. every summer there was a couple of these movies that were just big budget action fun.
Yeah.
And this is definitely one of those.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it was yeah. fucking wild.
Yeah.
It was
so,
insane.
Well, that's fair. So I feel like it's a cop-out, so I'm going to see if I can come up with a second one. But you could, it's a cop-out because you named it, but Nick Cage's accent is horrible. And like there are moments where I feel like it so kind of works, and there are only brief moments of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when it's not super exaggerated, but it's not quite his own
yeah.
voice. Like, there's an in-between, but he only hits them for, like, a scene, and yeah. then it's gone again.
And not even, like, a whole scene.
You're right. You're
like,
right.
It's, like, halfway through the scene, he starts dropping it again.
Now, sometimes the exaggerated accent works for me in certain scenes, because, like, we talked in the first episode with the quote, put the bunny back in the box.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, if that isn't an exaggerated accent, it's not as iconic a line.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just so funny to me.
I just wish he kept one. Like, there was, like, four variations.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah. The in and out of accents is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly, a lot of actors do that, and not intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, you know, as much as some actors, you know, Christian Bale is a good example of an actor that is kind of a douche in real life. People have talked about many times, but
mm-hmm.
Is really good at, like, whatever he is for that movie, he's that for that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, like... I know, like, in Newsies, I would have thought he was from old-time New York. I just
yeah,
know,
he was
you know, his
good.
Voice is great like that.
I mean,
but,
I
like,
hated him.
You hear him talk with his thick Scottish accent, and he's a completely different dude, you
yeah.
know? What's her face? The girl who plays 11, Millie Bobby Brown. Her freaking accent as an American is amazing.
I had no idea that she was British.
Right. And I watched her recently do this thing on accents where she just picks them up and she mm-hmm. can just go into one and stay in it.
Yeah.
And it's really impressive.
Yeah, she was doing like impressions of people.
Yeah,
yeah
she's
it was
so good.
Insane. Yeah.
She's so good. And she said it only takes hearing someone a few times to really get mm-hmm. it. Like it's a weird thing she just has.
Yeah, Kristen Bell can do that too.
She's so
talented.
It's so funny. And I mean, I'm very entertained by that. So yeah, unfortunately for Nick, not his strong suit.
Mm-mm.
Not at all. Another thing I don't like about the movie, let's see. I also find the movie highly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I do think, and I think you might have alluded towards this, I think the ending's a fucking mess.
Yeah.
It keeps going.
Yeah, it just
so
never
like,
stops.
There's a couple logical ends that it just skips. It's almost like a Lord of the Rings movie in that way.
Oh my God, I will fucking die on that hill.
I know you like Lord of the Rings.
I love Lord of the Rings.
But there is at the...
No.
There are four
I don't
endings. There are four fucking
I don't
want
to talk to you about
there
this.
There are four fucking... Oh, okay.
No. We're going to... So, tune in to our next podcast, Lord of the fucking Rings.
Which will be the first time I watch the second and third movies all the way through because they bore the fuck out of me.
You can't even talk about
that. No, I watched the end and just was like, what the hell? Because I had to watch it after watching Clerks 2 several times. Because that's one of my favorite movies in the world. But yeah,
the ending does go on forever.
Yeah,
I do agree.
But it's like that. This is a movie where it's not even a long movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's not short enough that you need to extend it to hit like a certain amount. Like,
yeah.
you could have cut 10 minutes off and still hit runtime fine.
Yeah,
that last 10 minutes ends three times.
Yeah,
like it. But it feels, even though it's only about 10 minutes of jumble, it feels like 30 minutes of jumble because it's so much.
Yeah, like the fire truck chase scene. When John Malkovich tries to, like, exceed.
You might have hit the nail on the head on why that happened. It might have been to show off his body. Because it's the only part of the movie where he really shows it off.
Because John Malkovich, like, he barely was even in that scene. He was just, like, on top. I mean, besides the ending, John Malkovich. But, like,
I kind of love that, though.
There's no shots of John Malkovich during that whole entire chase. It's just the one of him escaping on top of the fire truck.
And
that's it. And then
him.
It's just, like, Nick Cage grunting and muscling. And
when I almost feel like John Cusack's in that scene just to show a juxtaposition of normal guy, jacked guy. Normal guy, jacked guy.
They're like, hey, nerd, can you get on this fire truck?
And he's, like, holding on for dear life. Like, oh, my God, you know. Oh, yeah. No, I definitely feel that for sure. So, now we'll get back into your own role. You can step out of the face-off shoes here, and you don't have to say good things about Nick. I know it's hard.
Oh, God, so hard.
Tell me, in general, some of the things that drive you nuts about Nick, and just some of the things about the movie that you wanted to highlight in general.
Okay, so first of all,
okay,
so you know we already talked to death about the accent. It's fucking terrible, When after he's doing his whole like voiceover of like dear hummingbird,
dear hummingbird,
and then he's like talking to Baby-O about like getting out. It's very, very much like improv scene feelings. Like that whole entire dialogue between them.
Some of it.
It was very awkward, and it was like it felt like I was watching an acting class, and they were trying to like feel each other out during that whole entire thing. There's like no part. It felt like they were both doing two separate things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's fair.
And then,
I'm feeling it as you're saying it. That is an awkward.
Yeah,
there
was a lot of.
I
pauses.
Wonder if it would have worked more if it didn't have that stupid accent.
Maybe, but there was just like a lot of pauses and a lot of weird looks and like them not looking at each other and them on separate side of the. It was very weird. But then when he's Baby-O,
Bubba. It's Bubba Blue from.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
is that Bubba the same guy?
First guy.
Are you kidding?
No, it's Bubba.
Huh. Well, what about that? Well, anyway, so then they're having, like, this conversation about him getting out and, like, what he's going to do and blah, blah, blah. And Baby-O is, like, talking about his transfer, but, like, Jesus will, you know, save me or something like that. And they're having this very sweet moment. It's really nice. And then all of a sudden, Nick Cage lets out this fucking laugh. Like, out of the blue, no context, but Baby-O was, like, you know, like, Jesus will, you know, carry me through. And then there's this pause, and then Nick Cage is like, that's exactly the noise he makes. And then he talks about how excited he is to get out. It was so fucking weird. And I was like cracking up. I was
so
dying.
I don't know. I didn't notice it, but now that you're saying it, I know the moment. And he immediately starts. I know exactly what point you're talking about.
I have to like show the exact clip to you because it's so fucking ridiculous. And
it almost feels like those are two separate scenes that are strung together.
Like, yeah, they weren't even in the same room and they just like put them in together.
Oh, man,
post.
That's funny.
It was very fucking weird.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
You know, every time he said daughter, I died.
Daughter.
My daughter.
Daughter.
Soon I'll see you, my daughter. I'm getting out on my daughter's birthday. Like, I hated it every single time he said daughter.
Can I ask you a question? It's not about the movie, but it's just about something. So, I see this as a trope in movies. I didn't see it much in real life working in a prison.
Yeah.
But the idea that you have a baby or a kid or whatever while you're in prison, or even right before you come to prison, but they don't remember you because they're a baby, and you don't let them visit you because you don't want them to see.
Yeah, I don't. Is that something he said, or was
he
not allowed?
He said, I wasn't going to let her meet her dad, you know, in a room full of convicts.
Well, that's
blah, blah,
fucking stupid. Well, she was terrified when they met each other.
Right.
She was, like, scared shitless. That was so awkward.
I always wonder why, like, movies put that out, and like, I'm sure there are real-life people who feel that way, too, but, like, most of the guys I know are so excited to meet their child and see their child.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
They're like, listen, I don't love that it's here, but it's the only way I get
to
see
them. Also, that young, they don't understand. You can make up any fucking thing. Like, daddy has to
And if you get old enough, you
kind of
work with them on understanding it. Yeah.
And it's not like it's going to ruin them. Anyway. But,
So, I just bring that up because I feel like it's a weird pride thing.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not like she didn't know he was in jail.
Yeah.
Because they're letters. My daddy's coming home for the first time from jail. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like,
she knew exactly where he was.
You know, and
I feel like that would scar me as a child more if, like, my dad just didn't want to see me for the first 7 years.
That's a logic thing that I have with a lot of movies. Yeah. And another logic thing that you brought up.
Like, why is he in prison?
Why is he in jail?
Yeah, that's the whole thing that pisses me off, too. And I hated how it started. It was so, I try to have a sense of whimsy. And yeah. I really just hated how the entire first scene
they
was.
They basically insinuate that his hands are registered weapons.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but right, like, I know a lot it's of, like, insane. I know a lot of, like, Special Forces Marines who came to work for the Department of Corrections.
Yeah.
I promise you they're not going to jail for punching a guy and the guy dies. They're not going to jail. They might go to, but see, like, he the also whole got manslaughter charges. Yeah, which is and how are manslaughter charges getting him that much time?
Voluntary. Like, that's the other thing that pissed me off, too. It wasn't voluntary. It was involuntary.
He didn't try to kill him, so it should have been involuntary. But even as a voluntary manslaughter, he did more time than he should have.
Well, so, like, the whole first scene.
Why is he in federal? Is he in federal because he's a...
Yeah, he's in Supermax.
Yeah.
Isn't that fucking weird?
Yeah.
But the whole scene was, like, so abrupt. It was like, he walks in. He's in uniform. He touches the lady's tummy. She's like, my baby. And he's, like, talking to her flat stomach. And then, like, this guy
she
just...
works there, too, yeah, right?
This guy just, like, sees him dancing and was just like, I'm gonna fuck your wife. Like, out of nowhere, like, you know what I mean? Like, so aggressive for no reason.
And, like, how have they not been thrown out way before? Yeah. Because if she works there, the second the guy says something...
Yeah.
The bouncer's going, yo, dudes, you're out.
Yeah,
I don't care if they're regulars.
So then he's going to go to jail after defending himself and his pregnant wife against three people who attacked him?
Right.
That's not happening.
I agree.
There's no way that's fucking happening.
Unless he was black.
Again.
And I joke, but I don't joke.
I mean, yeah.
But that is true.
Like,
the guy is like... He's a decorated military guy.
Yeah, there's no judge who's going to be like, you know what, son, you spent 10 years in armed forces. You're
so
a deadly weapon.
Did, so I, we're really
he's
ruining
just
this
a fucking
movie
Marine,
by doing
right?
this, of course, right? But let's just say he's a Marine. Right, and he's maybe special forces, special trained, yada, yada. And he kills this guy. Well, you know what he's actually probably doing? If he does any time, he's probably going to a military prison.
Honestly.
For 6 months.
Yeah, he just got out of duty, didn't he?
So they're probably bringing him back there, and he's probably doing 6 months at a military prison.
Yeah, because even
it.
If you
go... probably not even going on his civilian record.
Yeah, even if you go AWOL, don't you go to military prison,
uh-huh,
too? Like, sure. So why would he be in a Supermax anyway?
Yeah, I don't understand it all.
But I think
the whole point of the story is, like, how can we put a good guy into jail?
Yeah.
Because we need this good guy to be the good guy. And it's still the 90s, so, like, nuance is not our thing.
Yeah, but he also just, like, straight up murdered that other guy on the plane.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
He did. No, we did see some real, real, like, murder streaks coming out in dude.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was hard.
But
I think
they also
it was
insinuated, though, that he had a streak in the past. So I wonder if they just did a bad job explaining something.
Yeah. Hummingbird.
Could he have ended up in the military because of getting out? Because I had friends who were in the military to get out of going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
or like maybe he was like dishonorably discharged or something.
Right. But like, even to say he wasn't and say he got into a bar fight and almost killed someone once before, got sent to county and some recruiter basically got him out of it to go join up.
Yeah.
Because that happens.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend who's PTSD and crazy things. He's now committed suicide.
Sorry.
I had a friend in college. I wasn't super close with him, but a lot of my closer friends were very close to him. And he, to get out of his second DUI, he signed up.
Oh, really?
And the recruiter got him out of his DUI in exchange for... They held his DUI in abeyance.
Oh, my God.
He went to the Army, and he went to Iraq. It would have been the second... it was when I was... out of college, so the second time we went to Iraq.
Yeah.
And I think he was actually in Afghanistan. He went to Iraq and Afghanistan and all that stuff. And he came back and he was a mess and he got hung up on a girl who didn't love him back, which, you know, that's just life, whatever. And he killed himself with his gun.
That's so sad.
So, like, it's just crazy shit, though, is, like, sometimes there are those stories. So, but the movie doesn't do well as explaining why.
Yeah. You spent so much time on the longest ending of film history where it's like 17 different endings
you just
in one movie.
Come up with a slightly better way for him to get into jail.
10 more minutes building a little bit of a backstory. You know what I mean?
Well,
to make it a little bit more
believable.
They
were very concerned with him maintaining the. Being a hero in his wife and daughter's eyes.
Yeah.
That I think
they just wanted
they were
him to get that shirt
for him
off.
To have done bad things.
Yeah. They were just trying to figure out the quickest way to get his hair in the wind and that shirt off his back.
How do you feel about his hair in this movie?
Oh my God, it's so annoying. There's like so many parts where he's just like walking on the plane and he does this little like flip of the hair in the breeze. And like when he like walks or gets off of the bus to go to the plane, or when he's just like walking, his hair is just like flowing and he like does this eyes closed thing. It's so fucking weird. His hair looks terrible. It looks fake.
It does look pretty fake.
Yeah, it's really bad. But
as someone who watches a lot of wrestling, yeah, it looks like a wrestler's hair.
Yeah, it does. Like, I mean, it's believable for the character, but for him, it was just like this weird emphasis on his hair.
And also,
hair,
I think, I honestly almost feel like they had the long hair just to show how long he was in jail.
Oh, yeah.
It was short in the beginning.
Yeah, he did say that he wanted to get a haircut before he saw Hummingbird. I have no idea what that woman's name is.
Yeah, or Hummingbird.
Yeah, Hummingbird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was a big gripe of mine.
So you had a couple other gripes, and I don't want to let you not get to them.
Okay,
so
one more gripe,
please,
and then I'll stop. I mean, not so much a gripe. The car crash with the dead body falling on the cars was the most ridiculous scene I've ever seen in my life, and I could not stop laughing. It was like he threw the body out of the plane with the note on it, and it hit that like old couple's car, and like 47 cars come and they like crash into this fucking thing. It was so
I guess it's
funny.
More believable than no other cars crashing
yeah,
into them.
It was
still,
like
yeah.
so met. It was so excessive and it was so ridiculous. And I was like, that has to be a funny part. That
I mean,
was actually,
it involved Dave Chappelle.
Yeah,
and his character was meant to be comic relief to
yeah,
a point
true.
Up until he died, I guess.
Yeah,
but of course, the fact that his body was just dead and stuck in the landing gear, like. Mm-hmm. His whole thing is crazy, but and like, even though he's one of the big bad, like one of the main henchmen of the big mm-hmm. bad, I feel like Billy Bedlam, who's part of that whole thing, and then he's part of the put the bunny back in the box,
yeah,
and the guy he straight up murders, as you're saying, right?
Yeah,
I feel like his whole role was just who can we have in this movie that can be kind of a main character. But, like, we can have him murdered off and
yeah.
not worry. Because we didn't want to murder off some of the other bigger names mm-hmm. yet. And,
yeah.
Because, honestly, you could have replaced him with any of the other guys and it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah. Yeah, but he brought that, like, funny, casual.
Oh, yeah. I really like Dave Chappelle in this movie.
Yeah.
I also really like when he's running after it and the guy he burned. yeah. The guy he burned is just laughing.
Yeah.
He's like, let me in. He's like, oh, fuck you. You know, like, well, you know, you just burnt him alive and the fact that he lived.
Yeah,
go fuck yourself. Yeah, right? But.
And my final gripe. The ending scene when he finally gets to see Hummingbird and his baby, the oh, yeah. dirty ass fucking bunny, was so awkward. It was such an awkward.
His and I daughter guess who's like scared of him.
His daughter's fucking petrified. His wife's looking at him like he smells like shit. Like
well,
which
I'm sure
he probably
does. Yeah.
But she just like looked at him like I couldn't read her face. I was like, is she mad that he made it off the plane? Like she seemed like. I don't know, not happy to see him. And
well, like, he had a reason.
Very
he had,
weird.
Well, funny you say that, because I was thinking about this. In the beginning, she's like, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
You know? And then he's that guy, and he goes to jail, right?
Yeah.
Well, in this case, he's that guy again, because he has to be the fucking hero, when he could have gotten off.
Yeah.
He had his way off.
Yeah.
But he had to be the hero.
Yeah.
And maybe in a sense, she's like, you know, you could have been home 6 hours ago safe, bitch.
Yeah, like, I had a birthday cake, bitch.
Yeah. He prioritized being a hero over being home.
Murdering.
Yeah, so
Strip murdered that guy.
It really, when I think about it, and I look back at it.
I mean, maybe
like,
she does have the right to have that stinky face. She looked like she was smelling poop.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think to myself, like, while it's admirable to be the hero, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't my family have to come before being a hero?
Yeah.
So maybe he fucked up.
Yeah, I would have. There are so many points in that movie where I would have just pieced the hell out. And also,
he's literally one of the guys bagged and ready to go out.
Yeah.
And then he changes his mind because he's got to save. Well, and that, and I guess the reason is because of his friend.
Yeah.
It's because of Baby-O slash Blue, Bubble, as I was yeah. saying, Bubble Blue. I don't know.
Why is he on that plane? Like, of all the people to put on that plane.
Who,
like
Bubba or Baby-O?
Well, I don't know what Baby-O did. I'm assuming it's on par with what fucking Pope did, but Like, why is Nick Cage's character on that plane to begin with?
It says he's getting a ride home.
Yeah. Because,
with
like,
the worst criminals in the history of the
world.
You
have fucking Hannibal Lecter getting wheeled onto that fucking plane in a cage.
Yo, I'll just take the fucking Amtrak, yo.
Yeah, like the guy who raped 23 people. Like, you have people that wore people's faces as hats. And, like, then you have this guy who got into a bar fight and accidentally killed somebody.
Yeah.
Why are you putting him on that plane? Well,
and on top of the fact, he's already been paroled.
Yeah.
So, he shouldn't be on that plane.
Yeah. Why is he in handcuffs getting off of that fucking bus? Like, he shouldn't have been in custody at all.
No. And they do explain that the reason you're still in custody is because you're on a secure flight.
I fucking guess. But,
and,
like,
I have had experiences working for the Department of Corrections where somebody voluntarily goes on a secure bus to get a free ride somewhere because they don't have any money. But we don't do that anymore. Mm-hmm. And we rarely did it in the past. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, we just say, oh, here's the $50 for the train ticket. Go get the train ticket.
Yeah, yeah.
We drop you at the train station with $50 and say, go home.
Yeah. Yeah, so he definitely had an option. It's not like they forced him on this plane.
Yeah.
There's no way they could have. No. Like, legally.
No, no.
So he said, let me get on this plane with these fucking serial killers and serial rapists and arsonists.
The literal worst criminals in America.
Of the worst.
Yeah.
Let me do that instead of just getting a fucking Greyhound
ticket.
I also
think,
what?
Why is Baby-O on it too? Like,
yeah.
Like, why is he going to this new Supermax facility when he's clearly not a Supermax candidate?
Yeah. He's fine.
Also, they didn't give him his medicine. There's no way they would have loaded him on the plane.
Yeah.
Until he had it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of suspension of disbelief issues.
I know,
in this
that's
movie.
What I was like. Every time I started like questioning the movie, I'm like, sense of whimsy. Just sense of whimsy.
but like, I think that speaks to the entertainment level of this movie.
I mean, it was
in that it's so entertaining that most of the time you can just go, all right, this makes no sense, but who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, there was definitely parts where like I had to like reflect on after because it was so entertaining and I was like so into it. That I, like, couldn't stop to think about how stupid it was until, like, later.
Right.
Because it was entertaining.
Right.
It was just fucking over the top.
So, I'm curious now. So, I don't have a lot more to add about the specifics. Like, I know I have favorite scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are the iconic scenes. I do really like when Sally Kid dances, dancing. In her dress,
oh my
his
God.
Dress, you know, up there, and it's that scene is a blast.
When all the officers come up and they're like, "Ooh, men in uniform," and I was like dying.
Yeah, I do like that. I do like a lot of those moments. I just think the movie's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There are some troublesome words used about race and about gender and about sexuality. However, those are all words that are very believable in this setting.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think any of them are said by people we're meant to think are good people.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, an important thing to note. Like, there's a recent horror movie out called Dash Cam. Have you heard about this movie?
No.
Okay, so it's a found footage movie where it's about a woman who is an ultra-right MAGA type. And she... But she has this, like... drives around her car while filming herself, mm-hmm. dash cam, where she does... it's very... This part is very, very entertaining. She does freestyle raps.
Hmm.
And they're very entertaining.
Yeah.
Horribly inappropriate, like real, like shit I wouldn't say.
Yeah.
But entertaining. And it takes place during COVID. The reason a lot of people are struggling with this movie isn't even just the content, it's that the woman cast to do this is like this in real life.
Oh, really?
So the film community is very like, so we like this director. Why the fuck is he doing this? Why is he giving this woman a platform? Platforming her and this and that. So there's been a really interesting debate about that. And I will say that does muddy the water. I think the movie is a movie that if she was played by someone who wasn't like that in real life, or at least I didn't know was like that in real life, I would probably be like, this was a really interesting take.
Yeah.
But and I know that the version of her in the movie is clearly not her exactly. It's more amped up. But the fact that she is a you know, anti-vax, COVID denier.
Gross.
And has that stuff going on, you know, wears her fucking red hat and all that shit, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that that's real makes this movie so much more muddy. So, like, I appreciate that something like the movie we're talking about right now, none of the characters who say this shit are in any way supposed to be believed to be good people.
Yeah.
Or we're supposed to be sympathizing with them. We're not supposed to sympathize with Cyrus the Virus.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
If we do, we have some fucking problems.
Yeah, we
right?
got to talk to our therapist about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, I already have a list of things to talk to my therapist about. I don't need more. right? So, needless to say, so we're going to get into our ratings here.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first movie was just you and me, blend of the ratings. You gave it a 2, I gave it a 4, we got a 3.
Boom. Mm-hmm.
But we have a third component starting now that we have an audience poll.
Mm-hmm.
If the audience poll goes in the side of positive, like they like the movie, we have to give it 0.5.
Mm.
If they don't like the movie, we take a 0.5 away.
Mm-hmm.
And that is going to be figured into our final Cage-O-Meter score, as we called it in the first movie, because I'm first episode, because I'm so creative, Cage-O-Meter.
I mean, who would have thought of that?
Right, I know. I just...
what a talent. That's yeah. why we pay you the big bucks.
Right, the big bucks. I pay to do podcasts. You're aware of that, right? Like, I actually spend money to do
this.
Wait,
I'm not getting paid for this?
No, definitely not.
Shit. Anyway, I gotta go.
yeah. So, so that said... I believe, starting off, the poll kind of destroyed you.
Yeah, truly. I'm not even mad about it.
That's fair, because you did say you liked the movie
a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, if this was, do you like this picture of Nick Cage, everybody would have said no, because it's a terrible picture.
Oh my God, it's a picture of him.
Stepping
when
off the bus.
When he's first getting the sun and the wind in his face, stepping off the bus.
With his wig
with the hair flying in the wind and the weird, like... His beard is like more than 5 o'clock shadow, but not
I feel
like
it
a real
needed
beard.
It needed to be more or less.
Yeah, it needed to be a 5 o'clock shadow or a real beard. It was neither.
It was very upsetting.
It's confusing.
They like colored it.
It really
like
is confusing.
Magic
what it
marker.
Is. I feel like it might be magic marker. Yeah, it's probably. Pretty weird. But 77% said, hell yes, I mean it. Which, weirdly enough, is a quote from Something Bad I talked about earlier, which is what he's talking about, calling him a crackhead Negro.
Oh my God.
But
I don't agree with that statement.
Yeah, I don't agree with that statement, but I do agree with the movie being a damn American classic. And 23% said, put the bunny back in the box, which I believe was you on 3 different accounts. So.
It was. It was before I watched it, though.
Right. So I'm intrigued now. So we've got a 0.5 added here. This is going to screw up the... We're going to have to pick a movie you really think is going to get a bad rating to try to cancel things out. Because I think you might go pretty high on this one. What do you think?
I would say a 4.
Wow. So we got a 4.
Yeah.
We got a 4.5 from me.
Yeah.
And we got another 0.5 added on. So we got basically got 4.5 and a 4.5. We come to a 4.5.
Yeah.
So we're at a 4.5. So right now,
I'm upset.
Cage is winning this podcast right now. So
not
we have
Cage.
To, Cage movies. Cage movies.
The movie was fine.
Okay.
Cage was not.
So I'm going to ask you, do you have a movie in mind yet that you feel like might help your case here of being bad? Ooh. I have a couple of thoughts.
Yeah.
And we can decide live on air. People can hear our process here. So I'm thinking... Because it's widely panned, I'm thinking we could go to the remake of Wicker Man.
Oh.
I don't hate that movie, but I have a feeling I might actually dislike it more than I did if I rewatch it.
Yeah.
And it might hurt.
The original's your favorite movie.
The original's one of my favorite movies of all time, but I'm usually one of those people that's pretty good at not comparing originals and remakes.
Yeah.
Compared to a lot of people who just straight up compare everything. But I have a feeling, I recently listened to somebody else talk about the movie and there's someone who I tend to like a lot of what they like and I'm nervous about rewatching that one. So that could bring us down.
Wait, I think I know what
you have another one in mind.
I kind of want to do Ghost Rider.
Well, the first or the second? First?
I feel like the first. It's one of his worst rated movies.
It is one of his worst rated movies. I remember liking it, but I haven't watched it in a long time.
Yeah. So, or Left Behind, which was his absolutely worst rated movie.
Okay, Left Behind is a really bad movie.
Yeah. It's also on a plane, right?
There's a lot of plane stuff on it. It's one of those movies where somehow the Kirk Cameron version of this movie is better.
Oh, that's upsetting.
Yeah. Yeah. I will let you decide. Those two movies or Wicker Man. So we have three choices. You could either go Wicker Man, Left Behind, or we could go with Ghost Rider. If you're really trying to bring the average down, know that the one that I know I really hate is Left Behind. Just saying.
I think I'm going to go...
Do you want to subject yourself to watching that right now?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with... I'm between Ghost Rider and Wicker Man. Because Ghost Rider I did see in theaters.
Oh, wow.
And I was very disappointed. Okay. And I fucking hated it.
I kind of liked it, but this is... I don't think I've seen it since it came out. So... All right, let's do Ghost Rider. Ghost Rider it is. Ghost Rider.
We can do shots of Fireball.
Oh, God.
Yes!
I'm picking the drink next time.
Damn it!
I will do something on that...
Spicy.
On that spicy tip.
Yeah.
But I don't mess with Fireball because I feel like it's... Well, honestly, just because I feel like it's wimpy. I would rather go with...
Okay.
If we went with cinnamon whiskey, I'd rather go with cinnamon whiskey that's actually like
higher... Jim Beam actually is really good.
Higher proof cinnamon whiskey because Fireball's so low, you can actually buy it in some... beer distributor.
Is that true?
You can buy the little bottles of it. Yeah.
I don't consider it to be whiskey.
It is technically whiskey.
Yeah, but like personally I don't.
Well, like, it's like I don't really consider SoCo whiskey either, but it is.
That's peach whiskey. And then there's Fireball.
Right, yeah. Like Southern Comfort's whiskey, but it's also not whiskey to me. So.
Yeah.
So we have a 4.5. Mm-hmm. You're hoping to get like a 1.5 to really bring things back down next time.
Yeah, I feel like I am though. Like Ghost Rider, I've talked to people about Ghost Rider before in passing and they fucking hate it.
And I won't announce it yet, but because you're bringing up Ghost Rider, there's somebody who's really on your side with this movie who might want to come on, who's actually the husband of one of our good friends whose birthday happens to be today.
Joe.
Yeah. We could reach out to him. So you might be able to really bring down the average with Joe.
Wait, doesn't Joe love it and Raven hates it?
No, Joe hates Ghost Rider.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a diehard Ghost Rider comic book
guy.
And he really hates it.
Yeah, maybe we'll have Joe on.
Yeah. So you might be able to bring the average down with some extra people here.
I'm gonna have like 15 people with me.
So it's gonna be like you, me, and the problem is like I'm not even gonna defend it that much. I'm gonna be like, I didn't hate it completely.
Yeah, we gotta do a rewatch though.
Oh, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
So next month we're gonna be back with Ghost Rider. You guys heard the live behind the scenes here of us figuring it out
of a meeting,
and I really wanted to give you that opportunity because I felt like this movie really skewed it in the other direction, and so. So you choose the movie, but I'm doing the drink.
Gotcha.
All right. So, well, with that in mind, the cage meter is now up to a 4.5. Well, 4.5 and a 3, whatever the average 3.75, I think, is where we're at now.
Do not do math at me during Pride Month. It's homophobic. It's homophobic. As a bisexual, I'm really bad at math.
Okay, so I'm sorry I did it in my head in front of you, but. I think we're at a 3.75 roughly, and that you know, it's leaning on the side of Nick Cage being the true thespian of his day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
But we'll have to see how that goes. So, Murder, for anyone else listening out here, how can folks follow us and be part of the conversation here?
You can join our mailing list. I'm just kidding. We don't have that. You can follow us.
We will.
Us.
I could do that. Yeah. I could do a mailing list,
You can join our mailing list that Justin is going to make for this conversation. You can follow us on Cage Match Podcast on Instagram and Facebook.
So we don't have a specific Cage Match Facebook, but we have the Farsighted Network has a Facebook group. Not widely used a lot yet, so you can help us make it more used.
Yeah.
And we'll use it, but really our primary thing right now, we're doing a lot of Instagram. It's where you can vote as to what you think about this movie. You guys can support Murder's attempt to really bring the average back down with Ghost Rider. So, you know, when you're listening to this in mid-June, by early July, you're probably going to see a post. If you're following us, you'll see it. Get your vote up, and you can trash this movie, or you could defend it if you feel willing. I'm not even sure as the Nick Cage guy here if I'm willing to support this movie. Yeah. So we're going to see how this goes.
Yeah, we'll do.
We could really get a low score and really bring it back to the middle, and we'll just be back at a three again.
Yeah.
But that would be a win for you if we get back down to a three.
Yeah, so, knock him down.
So everyone, thanks again for checking us out this month. And
thanks.
Yeah.
We love you so much.
Man. We were really nice to each other this month.
Yeah, I know. How sweet. I'm too tired to be mad.
I'm gonna give you gin next time. And,
oh God.
Because that actually could kill you, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Fuck you. Bye.
Bye.
Couldn't you put the bunny back in the box?